Okay, good evening. So for those of you who were here on Shabbos, we had a special shiur, L'Kavod Parshas Mishnim, all about the Isser Arkos, the Isser of having a court case go to the secular courts. We have a halacha that it's really supposed to go through the Jewish courts, it's supposed to go through a Beis Din. And on Shabbos, we discussed at length, when are the exceptions to the rule? When do we assume that one is not required to go to a Beis Din and he would be allowed to go to a secular court? So everyone requested on Shabbos that we continue a little bit today. So we spoke on...
What?
Right. So basically, on Shabbos, we already discussed all the halachas of not going to secular courts, and now we're going to move forward and talk about what the mechanics of a Beis Din are. If you'll notice that tonight there is a lot on the source sheet, front and back. We're not really going to go into the parsha. And the reason for that being that I wanted to learn through a couple of interesting tshuvas in the Igros Moshe and different things, so that we'll see clearly how Rav Moshe feels about certain issues. So number one, let's just begin. We started on Shabbos already discussing the Gemara in Gittin on Peches and Beis, where the Gemara makes two different drushas. One drusha is lifneim velo lifnei ovdei kochavim. Ela advar mashatasim lifneim. That ela mashpatim mashatasim lifneim. A person has to go to a din Torah velo lifnei ovdei kochavim. Then the Gemara goes on to make a second drusha, which is lifneim velo lifnei hadyotis. Now, what does that mean? The Gemara says we have a drusha that one is not allowed to go and have a court case. One is not allowed to go and have a din Torah not in front of non-Jews and also not in front of someone who's a hedyot. Now, what is the definition of a hedyot? So the Gemara tells us that it means someone who does not have smicha. So I want to talk a little bit about what is the definition of smicha and how, in fact, do we go to anybody nowadays if nobody... So we'll talk in a few minutes where these guidelines apply and where they do not apply. Where do we require that a person go to someone who's a musmach? And where do we assume that, no, it's good enough to go to anybody who you think is a reasonable, honest person? So number one, I just want to begin with the Rambam. We have many types of people who are running after... being Dayanim, who are running after the opportunity to judge others. However, the Rambam says that this is not the proper type of mindset. The Rambam writes in the third parak in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Halacha Yud, that's number one on the source sheet, so the Rambam says, Derech HaChachamim HaRishonim. The real Derech HaChachamim in the olden days was Borchim, they used to run away, Milhismanos, they used to run away from taking positions of authority, V'dochkim Atzmam Harbe Shalo Leishe Bedin. They very much did not like being Dayanim on Dinei Torah. Atshiyedu she'ein sham roi kamosan. Unless, obviously, the situation called for them because there was no one else in the neighborhood who could possibly run a Din Torah. V'she'im yimnu atzom me'adin tiskakal ashura. Look, it's not the place for Anava if the person realizes that the whole system is going to fall apart. However, if there were other Rabbanim, Tamnei Chachamim, who were able to do this type of job, so the Rambam writes that the Chachamim HaRishonim used to stay away from doing Dinei Torah. V'alfal pikein, the only way they, even in a case where they felt that they were the only ones who were able to get involved in Dinei Torah, it only came with a very heavy heart. It came when the community really begged them and told them that they need them very much. So the Tumim writes in his Pirush on Chayshe Mishpat that the Rambam says that a person should shy away from justice, that's only in a case where we're talking about Batei Din. However, he says in a regular scenario, someone's asked to be the president of a school. Someone's asked to be the president of a shul. If the shul feels that you are the proper person for the job, so the Tumim says he doesn't think that this is a place for anava. When it comes to Dinei Torah, so you want to stay far away from other people's money, you want to stay far away from that type of headache. But he says when it comes time to other types of appointments, so it's not the place to pull out your anava card and all of a sudden make believe as if you don't really deserve that type of position. So, now getting to your point, when do we assume that a person needs to have smicha, and when do we assume that it's good enough just to be a hedyot, it's good enough just to be a simpleton in the community, that's fine. So if you look in Sanhedrin on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, so the Gemara says that you need for mishpatim, for dinei mamonos, you need three smuchim. Now, what kind of dinei mamonos do you need three smuchim for? For example, I have a court case with somebody else, I lent him money, now he's not paying back. Simple case. Hodos v'halvos. Or I say, you met me in the supermarket yesterday, you needed to buy a soda, you didn't have any money, I lent you some money, now you deny it. Simple case like that. That's called hodos v'halvos. Either I have a shtar, or I have a word of mouth, or I have some type of kinyan that we made with each other, that's what we call a simple case of hodos v'aldos. Says the Gemara, that is subject to a machlokas whether hodos v'aldos need three smuchim. Or, maybe we should assume that since it's such a simple case, it's a simple case. You have a shtar that says, I owe you money. I never paid you back. Okay, so pay. You don't really need to have smicha in order to paskin such a shayla. That's a pretty easy one. So, the Gemara has this machlokas. It's based on how you read the psukim. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Beis Amud Aleph says, we're not sure if you need three smuchim for all dinei mamonos or only for the cases where it's gzelos v'chavelos. Now, what does that mean? Person steals from somebody else. So, v'heishavas gzela, you have to give it back. But there are some cases in the Torah where we assume you have to pay kefil, you have to pay dalet v'hei, sometimes where chazal impose, where the pasuk imposes some type of knas on top of what you stole. On top of the karen from what you stole, you have to pay more. Or chavalos, you damage someone, and now we have to evaluate. It's not a simple fee that you're going to have to pay. We have to evaluate how much is this person worth, how much did you damage him, how much did you set him back, how much did he take off of work for you. When you have to do an evaluation, and that's not such a simple thing to figure out, so then the Gemara assumes that everyone agrees that you need to have smuchim for that. The only machlokas in the Gemara is, do you also need to have smuchim for hodos v'aldos? So we paskin that for hodos v'aldos, you don't need to have smicha. However, for gzelos v'chavalos, when it comes time to be mechayiv someone, some sort of evaluation, or if it's coming to be mechayiv him more than what he stole, something like that, then we assume you do need to have smicha. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Isuri Bia that when it comes to a gerus, although we need to have three dayanim for a gerus in order to accept the ger, so the Rambam writes, we do not need to have smicha in order to accept the ger. Just three rabbanim can be the ones that will accept the ger, that's good enough. And the same applies, the Rambam writes, the same applies for chalitza. Although chalitza va'amnu v'fnei azakenim, machlokas and daf beis and sanhedrin, if you need three dayanim or five dayanim for chalitza, so even though we assume that you need to have a bezdin, it does not have to be a bezdin who have smicha. Yeah?
Is it, you said for the extra money, we're not, we need smicha. But is there a way, let's say it's a case that theoretically would mechayev extra money, is there a way that if we don't have real smicha, we better be able to down up until, like, you know, at least to pay up the karen?
I thought Knossos was gone already.
Because we don't have smicha. That's because we don't have smicha.
Because
we don't have smicha. That's exactly why.
Are you going to be defining smicha?
Yeah. So that's what we're getting into. Thank you. So let's develop this a little bit. So the Rambam says, let's look in this Rambam in the third entry on the source sheet. So the Rambam writes in the fourth parak of Sanhedrin, Halacha Yud Aleph. Harei shelo haya be'eretz Yisrael ala samach echad. Let's say you live in a generation, which is the times of the Gemara, where they only had one person, one Talmud Chacham who had smicha. Moshev Shnai Mitzido, so what does he do? This Talmud Chacham takes two other Talmud Chachim to sit with him on a Bezdin, although the other two do not have Smicha, and he's the only one that does, still he takes these other two, V'somech Shivim Ke'echad Ozeh Achar Zeh. He gathers 70 people, and he gives all them Smicha. Meaning, by the power vested in us three Dayanim, we now give over Smicha to these 70 Rabbanim, or either at once, or one after the other. And then, once he has the 70 smuchim, so he will join the 70, and now they'll have 71 members of the Bezdin HaGadol. Then they'll give permission to other batei dinim, and they'll smicha to other batei dinim in order to judge different cases. V'nir in the Advarim, says the Rambam. I have a chiddush here. Nir in the Advarim is always a red warning flag for the Rambam telling us some sort of chiddush that we would not have said on our own. So the Rambam here says a big chiddush. If the Chachamim all come to some sort of agreement, Sheba Eretz Yisrael, meaning the Rambam says over here, it's only based on the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. If they all come to an agreement, Limnos Dayanim V'Lismol Chosam, meaning what? Let's say in our generation, no one has Smicha anymore. Smicha means from Moshe Rabbeinu. So no one has Smicha any longer. So says the Rambam, what do we do in our type of situation? Nobody in our generation has Smicha. So the Rambam says, if all the Talmidei Chacham in Eretz Yisrael will come to an agreement, and they will say, well, we all think that this and this person is right for smicha, so he says they can all get together and confer smicha upon that individual. Very interesting. And then, v'yesh lahem ladin dinei knasos, that individual has the real bona fide smicha, to the point that he's even able to judge gzelos v'chavalos. Even though we said, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that in order to judge cases where you have to make a real evaluation and an assessment, you need to have smicha, says the Rambam. Very easy. We'll all get together. We'll all decide that this and this person is right for smicha, and then he is now considered a musmach. Says the Rambam further, and then that person who was chosen by all the Tamei Chacham in Eretz Yisrael can go ahead and be Mimana other ones. Im Kain, ask the Rambam on himself, we know the Gemara tells us that there was a certain point in history where the Tamei Chachamim were not allowed to give smicha to others, right? The Gemara says that one of them was Moser Nefesh to give smicha to his Talmidim. So why were they so concerned? If everyone would have been able to get together and just confer a smicha even later on, so what was the Gemara's concern that they're Mevatal the smicha? Says the Rambam, Lefisha Yisrael Mufuzarin. The Rambam says it's just a technical problem. Since Klal Yisrael is spread out all over the place, and we don't have one central place where all the Tamei Chacham gather, v'yafshar shi'askimu kulam, there's no way, we're so fragmented, Klal Yisrael never gets along about anything, it's even in the Rambam's days. So he says, I mean, they burned the Rambam, so you see, obviously they didn't get along then, but the Rambam says that Klal Yisrael is so spread apart, so it's impossible that you'll actually get a Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah together to decide that we should give smicha to this and this individual. Impossible, says the Rambam. V'mhayasham samach mipi samach, however, says the Rambam, here's the second aspect of smicha. If we have someone who is all the way down, he can trace back his smicha to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ishmi pi ishan Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Rambam, then you don't need to ask anyone else. That musmach can go ahead and give smicha to somebody else. So anyway, what it seems from the Rambam is that there are two different camps, two different categories of how one can confer smicha onto somebody else. Type number one, which is the general type of smicha that they used to have in the days of the Gemara, without the Rambam's Chiddush, was Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yoshua, Yoshua gave to the Zakenim, and then the Zakenim branched out and gave to everybody else. Once that happened, I have to be part of the Shalshalas HaMasora. In order to get smicha, I have to be able to date myself back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and I would have had to have had smicha from somebody who had smicha from somebody who had from Moshe Rabbeinu. However, says the Rambam, now that we lost that, we no longer have that opportunity because there is no one who has smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. There is no one who could date himself back. So now what do we do? Says the Rambam, a big chiddush, which he says on his own, we can get everybody together and all the Tamei Chacham together will decide that we want to confer smicha upon this individual. And says the Rambam, that will be good enough. This is the second type of smicha. That is the chiddush of the Rambam. My father wanted to explain, if you look at number Dalet, my father explained that maybe this is the meaning of the Pasuk, where it says, when Yeshua ben Nun gets smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Pasuk says as follows. Look carefully. Vayomar Hashem al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kach lechaz Yeshua ben Nun, take Yeshua ben Nun as isha sheruach bo, v'samachta es yadecha alav. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to give smicha to Yeshua ben Nun. So what does he tell him to do? Hamadato oso lefnei alazar hakoin, v'lefnei kol ha'eda, v'tzivso oso le'ineyem. So what does that mean? Let's break down the end of the pasuk. Number one, is I want you to give him smicha. I want that you should put your hands on him and give him smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. But component number two is the Rambam's chiddush. I want that everyone should agree. It should be a smicha that's conferred by everyone. So my father pointed out maybe that's why the pasuk has these two parts to it. Number one is Moshe Rabbeinu has to give him the smicha on his own. That's the first in the smicha. Number two, why is the Ribbono Shel Olam say it has to be in front of Elazar HaKohen and all his kenim? Is because the Rambam's chiddush is that there is such a smicha where we have everybody agreeing and conferring smicha upon an individual. So Yeshua ben Nun had both. He had smicha number one from Moshe Rabbeinu, smicha number two from everybody in the generation who were Tamei Chachamim. What?
Why use the word, those last words, mitzvisa, means that you're going to tell them what they're doing. You're not going to ask them permission.
Vitzivisa oso means, and you should
tell them, this is the way it's...
Vitzivisa oso means Moshe Rabbeinu should tell Yoshua. Not them.
He's telling Yoshua, but...
In front of everybody. In front of everybody. Once I have them all gathered, so you'll give him smicha, but also, they're going to confer the smicha upon him by showing that they agree that this is a rightful candidate to have smicha. Yeah.
When you did break the smicha,
yeah.
Did you need a bezin or just yourself?
No, the Rambam says that even one person, even one person was able to do it.
Moshe got smicha himself, or by de facto
he is the musmach. I mean, I guess. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave him smicha.
Yeah.
So what did the Rambam say?
The concept was maybe not even around. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, this is why nowadays. We have the minig in some yeshivas when they make a chagas smicha. So what's that all about? It's just to show off how many mismachim we have? No. The reason why they do that is because mitziviso so they name. The point is that it should be beforehesi that people should agree. So it's like a mock smicha. The whole smicha nowadays is really a mock. It's not real. It's fake. We just say that this person should be able to paskin shaylos. However, we make a big party. We make it with a lot of people involved to show that this is sort of a consensus of Klal Yisrael deciding that this is the right type of person to get a smicha. That's why we make a chag smicha. Yeah.
So why does the Rambam say that Moshe Shnayim is tida?
Oh, meaning why do you need it if you don't need a bezin?
If you only need one, then why did he need to? Mm-hmm. Why does the Rambam say?
You're right. It sounds from the Rambam that you do need a bezin. Just one of them has to be a Muslim.
One of them has
interesting.
But you do need a bezin.
Right? You hear that?
To make a smamach, but you need a bezin to establish it.
Meaning you need a bezin to confer the smicha upon the individual.
You only need one to get
I guess
it.
I was wrong. The Rambam says you need a bezin. That's clear in the Rambam. But one of them has to be a muslim. Okay, I was wrong. Let's just look at it again.
The auspices of a, you know, they
function
of the bezdin.
They have to okay it.
Is legislative.
Right.
The function of the somech is the one who's giving the smicha. So one person giving the smicha, but it has to be legislated. It has to be
okay.
Some type of legislation.
Okay, but you want to say that that's why it says that Moshe Rabbeinu called all his kingdom. So that might not be correct because the Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu had a din like a bezdin. Moshe Rabbeinu had a din like Shivim Ve'Echad himself.
He himself had a din like Shivim Ve'Echad, but to establish for the future days
right.
a
system, a process,
of,
right?
Of,
how it should work.
That's why Yeshua got two types.
Right. So that's what my father pointed at. Interesting. You can dingzach, but it's an interesting horror in the psukim themselves. Based on this chiddush of the Rambam, that the Rambam says there's a second type of mechudesh dechasmicha, that's why we found in the times of the Mari ben Leib, who lived at the same time as the Beis Yosef, a famous story that at that time was the times of the Maranos, right? I'm sure everyone knows about this. So the Maranos, many of them did not practice Judaism, and for all intents and purposes, we consider them mumrim, so they were concerned that they were chayiv karis, because they were covered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they were concerned they were chayiv karis. So what's the halacha of a person's chayiv kari? So generally, kol she'ez donar kari shekugasa chatos. So they claim that they are b'shogeg because they were forced into it. They had no choice. And generally, the halacha is generally assumed that if a person is over an iser kares, if he does a b'shogeg, he brings a chatos, and that takes care of it. So the Maranos decided that they can't bring a chatos, and they were afraid of getting kares. Now, what's the punishment for a person who deserves to get kares? Malchus. We whip him. But who's allowed to administer Malchus? Only a Bezdin. But we don't have a Bezdin. Because there's no one who has smicha. So the Mari ben Leib lived at the time and he felt terrible for all these people who really were sort of forced into serving Avodah Zarah and not believing in God anymore. So he said, you know what? Let's get all the Rabbanim and Svat together. And if we all, like the Rambam's Chiddush, why don't we get all the Rabbanim together and we'll all decide together to give smicha to somebody. Once we have somebody who has smicha, now we can go and give malchus to all these people who served Avodah Zarah, who were not believing in God, who were kofrim, and then we'll give them a kapara. They won't be chayiv karis anymore. That was the idea of the Ma'ariv ben Leib, all based on this chiddush of the Rambam. Now, there was a big tumult at the time because the Ma'ariv ben Leib specifically did not invite the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim. So it was big politics. The Maralbach, right. He only invited the Rabbanim in Tzvat, but he didn't invite the Maralbach who lived in Yerushalayim and other Rabbanim. So they were very offended, and they said, what do you mean? The Rambam says you have to have all the Talmidei Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. What about us? We also have a vote. So we weren't consulted. So since we weren't consulted, the Maral Bach torpedoed the whole idea of the Ma'ari ben Leib in the first place. So there was politics back then also, you see, times of the Beis Yosef.
He was masculine.
Right. Meanwhile, he did give smicha to a few people, but the Maral Bach claimed that the whole thing was a farce. The whole thing didn't work because he didn't ask us. You don't have to ask the Rabbanim in Chutz Laaretz because the Rambam says only the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael have a vote. But Lamaisa, you have to ask all the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, and you didn't. You only invited the Rabbanim from Tzvat. You didn't invite the Rabbanim from Eretz Yisrael. So that was why the whole thing was out the window. Reb Chaim Tainud also, much later on, Reb Chaim was recently, this was in the times of the Beis Yosef, Reb Chaim Tainud, he said, even if you're going to accept, if you read the Rambam carefully, Reb Chaim has a diuk, that even if you're going to accept that the Rambam's Chiddush is correct, that you're allowed to give smicha based on a consensus of all the Rabbanim, they can vote somebody in to be a musmach, that's only with regard to Dini Mamanus. Why? Because by Dini Mamanus we have such a concept of Kiblu Alai, which leads us into our next point. There's such a concept of Neman Alai Abba. Let's say, I have a Din Torah with you, and I say, you know what, I trust my father to be the Dayan. Well, it's very nice that I trust my father, of course he's going to be in my favor. Do you trust my father? I wouldn't if I were you. What do you mean? He's going to be favoring one side. But if we both agree that he's an honest person and we both agree that he's going to give a real psak that's fair for both of us, so then we have such a concept of kiblu alai. There's such a case where we would allow even a pasul adayin to be a dayin in this case, if we both agree to the terms, and we both sign on it that it's okay with us. Fine. So over here also, the Reb Chaim Taina, that the only time we would allow for this mechudesh de gesmicha of the Rambam, that's only with regard to dini mamonos. Nowadays, generally, since we don't have smicha, we can't be mechayiv dini knasos, like we said. We can't be mechayiv gzelis v'chavalos to go and assess and evaluate how much someone's chayiv to pay somebody else. That we can't do. But, says Reb Chaim, that's only based on the svar of kiblu alayu, because we have a right to say we're mochel each other. And we're even going to be mekabel on ourselves a pasul adayin. However, when it comes to getting malchus, when it comes to inflicting pain upon our bodies, says Reb Chaim, we don't have a right to be mochel on that. So Reb Chaim says the whole thing didn't make any sense. The whole Ma'ariban Leib's Chiddush was to give smicha in order that people should be able to get malchus based on this bezin who's going to determine whether they're chayiv malchus or not. So the whole thing didn't make sense. Even if you do have the smicha, which they didn't, but even if you do have the smicha, it's still not going to help because you only have a right to be mechayiv money, you don't have a right to administer any type of onesh haguf. That's what Reb Chaim tainted on this whole chiddush of the Ma'ariban Leib. Clear? Okay, so let's go further. So the Gemara says in Gittin Daf Pechasim and Beis, we have a halacha lifnei and below lifnei hadyotas. One is not allowed to go to a din Torah for certain cases to those dayanim who do not have smicha. So ask the Gemara, nowadays we don't have smicha, so how are we allowed to do it? Already in times of the Gemara in Gittin Peches, the Gemara already says they didn't have smicha. So how are we allowed to judge certain cases? So the Gemara says, shlichusayu kavdinon. We are doing a shlichus for the original dayanim who had smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, for the last group of Tamei Chacham, who had smicha, so we are shlichu sayukav dinon. That's the famous words of the Gemara. Now, the Nesivus writes in Simon Aleph in Choshem Mishpat that there's a machlekes toisus on the Rashba whether shlichu sayu is a din daraisa or derabanan, but be it as it may, ask the Chassam Sofer Akasha, shlichu sayu, what do you mean? What's the general rule of shlichus? Meis hamshaleach, batal shlichus. How can you say we're the shluchim of the last group of musmachim? They died so long ago. The whole premise why we're allowed to do Dine Torah nowadays is because shlichu sayu. What do you mean shlichu sayu? Who gave us the rights? They're not alive anymore. Meisam shaleach batel ashliach. So what's going on here? That's a chsam surface kash. Furthermore, the Achronim asked that we say in Shulchan Aruch based on Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed Tes and Hilchos Shabbos based on the Gemara in Beitza Lamed Vavam and Aleph. The Gemara says ain donim b'Shabbos. One is not allowed to don a din Torah on Shabbos. Question: why not? Okay. We'll leave that for another time, but basically the tour quotes a halacha, which is in Siman Reish Lamed Tes and Hilchos Shabbos. What if a dayan, a bezdin, went ahead against the rules and actually administered a din Torah, convened a din Torah over Shabbos? What's the halacha? Do we say since they violated the din, ain't done on Shabbos, so the whole thing should be batel mevutel? Or should we assume no? The Bezdin, bottom line, they weren't supposed to do it, but they violated Nisir. Okay, it is what it is. But bottom line, they judged the case and everything sounded like it was honest. Right, it's Xera, so maybe we should say everything's fine. So says the Torah, you're right. Since the whole thing is only Xera, Masha Asu, if they actually convened the Bezdin on Shabbos, even though they went against the Xera, even though they did the wrong thing, but bottom line, they judged the Din Torah favorably, it was honest, it was just, and we are allowed to follow the Psak that they gave. Ask some of the Achronim. Why don't we say Shlucha Shaladim Kamoso? And generally we say Eim Shliach Ledvar Avera. If you're going to say the whole right that a Bezdin has to judge a case nowadays is based on Shlichus Sayu, that we have some sort of Shlichus from the original Musmachim, well, what do you mean? How can the Torah say over here, if they violate the Halacha, their Din Torah is good? Don't we generally have a principle in Shas, Eim Shliach Ledvar Avera? If we say in Shlichus Dvar Avera by Dinim Derabanan, right? So you're saying this is making an assumption that we say by Dinim Derabanan. Right? Okay. Right? Okay.
What if the Musmachim from the previous generations would have done it on Shabbos?
That
would,
yeah.
They would have convened a Bezn on Shabbos. The Musmachim.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But the Torah is talking about Bezmanenu.
So that's also fine. Just as fine. Same thing.
If it's following the general rules, the principles of shlichus.
But that's part of the general rule. The shlichus is not that, you know, you're doing a shlichus, but don't do anything on Shabbos.
That's part of being a shlichus, you have to follow the rules.
But if they would have bypassed this gezeira, they were done on a Shabbos, it would have been invalid.
That's how it works with the other.
So it's all the same. Whatever,
if I do
good for them is good for them as well.
No, so if I do avera, I get the avera, but it still works. But if I have a shliach do something for me and he doesn't avera,
doesn't work.
So there's obviously a difference.
Right, it's a good point. But these are the two kashas. Number one, ask the Chassam Sofer, what does this concept mean, shlichu sayu? These people died thousands of years ago. How can we be the shluchim? Don't we know? Meisam ha-shaleach, batal ha-shlichus. And kasha number two is, how can the Torah tell us in Hilchos Shabbos that if a bezdin goes ahead and dons a din Torah shelo kahalacha on Shabbos, that the din Torah is valid? Don't we know that ein shliach l'dvar aver? Sounds like a funny kasha, the second one. But both kashas are answered with the following run. One second. Both kashas can be answered with the following run. Ran writes a chiddush in the beginning of Sanhedrin. The Chassam Sofer quotes this. Says the Ran as follows. This that the Gemara says, shlichu sayu ka'avdinon. It doesn't mean the regular principle of shlichus as we know it in Kol HaTorah Kula. That's not what it means. What are you talking about? Meisam shaleach batal ha-shlichus. You can't say that we're shluchim from these people 3,000 years ago. What do you mean? Says the Ran, all shlichu sayu means is the reason why when we have musmachim alive, we are not allowed to daven din Torah. What's the reason for that? Because you're being notul kisron shalas muchim. We have a certain authority that's set up in our society. We have different levels of authority. Now, one major level of authority is, if a person has smicha, he can actually get things done. If you're going to have bums on the street going ahead and doing the same thing that a musmach does, you're taking away the authority. You're undermining the whole authority. Therefore, says the Ran, in the times when we had smicha, a regular person who did not have smicha is not allowed to be on a bezdin. However, nowadays, when we don't have any musmachim, so there's no bizayon. I'm not being mevazeh any of the musmachim. There is nobody else. If I'm the only Talmud Chacham in the neighborhood who doesn't have smicha, and there's nobody else who does, so then it's mutter for me to down the din Torah. Says the Ran, it doesn't mean shlichusayu, it doesn't mean the general rule of shlichus. Shlichusayu just means they gave us permission to go ahead and down din Torah, calls man there are no musmachim around in the world. That's the way the Ran answers the kasha of the Chassam Sofer, obviously not answering the kasha, but that's basically what he says. And that would obviously answer the kasha of the tour as well. This is not really based on the regular rules of shlichus. Fine. So now we have established that nowadays we have a right to daven din Torah even though we don't have smicha. The reason for that being, we have a halacha of shlichusayu ka avdina. So now, generally, as we know a din Torah, we don't have that often a set din Torah where we have three dayanim who are there, ready to answer anyone's questions, ready to listen to both sides. It's generally not what we have in our times. Generally, what we have, as we know it, Bate dinim bizman hazeh are what we call a zabla. Now, what is a zabla? Anybody know? Yeah. Zabla is zeh bar lo echad. So what does it mean? It's a common misconception on what a zabla means. The Rush writes in Sanhedrin the following. Some people think zeh bar lo echad means each side picks one dayan, and then the two dayanim pick a third. Now, people think that means, well, let me pick a dayan that's going to lie for me. That's not a dayan. That's called a liar. So zabla means each side picks a dayan who they think is reasonable and will understand their argument. But not, it doesn't mean that you pick a dayan to be your dayan. That's an absolute travesty. You're not allowed to do that. You have to pick a dayan who you think is honest, then the other side picks a dayan who they think is honest, then the two of them pick a shalish, a third person who they both think is honest. Now, what type of role does a zabla play as far as Bezdin is concerned? Does this have the regular rules of a Bezdin? A zabla? We put together a chaplat Bezdin here, a zabla. I picked this rabbi out of nowhere, you picked this rabbi out of nowhere, and now all of a sudden we have a Bezdin. Does this have the regular rules of a din Torah? Or should we assume that it's different? So I want to show you here, I think it's important to go through this tshuva. This is a beautiful tshuva that Rabbi Asher Weiss wrote in response to a certain case. We won't go into any details, but he wrote it in response to a certain case. Nobody here knows who any of these people are. And Rabbi Asher Weiss wrote the following. I cut out snippets of it, but this just came out in his new volume of Shalos HaTshuvos. The question that was raised to Rabbi Asher Weiss was the following. And much of what he says here is just Dvarim Pshutim, but I just thought it was written very nicely, so here we have it in number Hey. The case was the following. There was a zabla that was put together by two sides who were having some sort of disagreement, and the dayanim were accepting money from one of the sides. Now that is an issur in the Torah of shochad. Shochad yavarein hachacham. When that dayan was put to task and asked, how are you allowed to accept shochad and continue to be on the case? He said, what do you mean? Where is zabla? I'm allowed to take shochat. There's no problem. Zabla. We don't have a din like a bezdin. I can do what I want. Right. So Rabbi Asher Weiss came out chai v'kayim to go show how improper and wrong this dayan actually was. So let's read through what he says, and we'll see some of the yesodos of what the achronim say about the geder of a zabla. What type of status does a zabla have as far as bezdin is concerned? So here we go. Zabla is not nowadays, Zabla is always. The Gemara talks about Zabla.
And just that each side chose dying.
Yeah, my father always likes to say the case. Say about the person who came to Rav Soloveitchik Shir in Sanhedrin. Anyone ever heard this? The guy who came to Rav Soloveitchik Shir in Sanhedrin, and he was sitting there, and they started the parak of Zebar Lo Echad in Sanhedrin, third parak. So it's parak Zabla. So he was saying the whole Shir, Zabla, 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 what is a Zabla, what does it mean, whatever, this and that, going on and on. And basically, this guy at the end of the Shir went up to him and he said, Rebbe, das given a moiridik ashir. So he said, okay, did you follow? Yeah, the moiridik. Abirchab ain kasha. So he said, what? So he said, vos is a zabla. So, whatever, he missed the whole shir. So here we go. Rabbi Asher Weiss's tshuva says as follows. Hine, halacha pshuta abura. We have a halacha in choshemishbat simintesif, hey, ta'af ba'ofen shemutu ladayin lito schar. Even in the cases where a dayan is allowed to take schar, now when is that? When is a dayan allowed to take schar? Schar batala, right? Schar for his time. Same as a rabbi, same as a rebbe. That's the same thing. My father likes to say over how Dr. Lamb once called a meeting of the rabbeim in YU to have a discussion of how many sick days they should get a year. And this is like 25 years ago. So he called this meeting and all the rabbeim showed up and my father said, can I have a word before we start? He said, sure. So he got up and he said, well, really, we're not really on a salary. Really, we're on schar batala. So if the whole thing is schar batala, so you have no right to write in the contract how many sick days we have. So he said, you're right, meeting over. That was the end of that. So basically, a rav is not allowed to be paid, and for that matter, a doctor also is not allowed to be paid. Doctor only gets schar batala. But someone's going to ask, how does he make so much money? Because for us, it's worth it to have this. Schar batala means, how much would we pay for this person not to take another job? Okay, so obviously we wouldn't pay a rabbi that much. We don't care about the rabbi that much. So that's why rabbanim don't get paid nicely. That's why mechanchim don't get paid. However, for a doctor, it's very important for us to be healthy. So for us, it's worth $500,000 a year for this doctor not to have a job. You're going to ask, if the whole thing is schar batala, so why is it that when you go for a heart transplant, you're paying $50,000, and when I go for a simple blood transfusion, I'm paying $3,000? We should all be splitting the bill if it's all schar batala for our community. Answer is, because to you, him not taking a job is worth a lot more than it's worth to me. That's the way we understand this. To you who needed the heart transplant, so to you it's worth $50,000 for this guy to be on call all the time, to be available to give me the heart transplant. But for me, who only needed a blood transfusion this year, I didn't need anything, so for me it's only worth $3,000. That's the way we basically have to understand our paying doctors. Paying rabbanim is another story. So here we go. Even Rav Asher Weiss says, even when we have a situation where one is allowed to be paying a dayan, dehainu schar batala demuchach, ein ze elo kasher mekabel mishnei balei din b'shavet. That's only if both parties are going to be paying the dayanim. If one side is going to go ahead and pay schar batala, that's shochat. Correct? That makes a lot of sense. Because obviously the dayan is going to favor that side because I'm being paid schar batala by him. The other one is not paying me. Ela shekvar nechaku ha'achronim. Rabbi Asher Weiss agrees that we find in the achronim that there's a question of the gather zabla. Ha'im yesh leborim shenifcharu. These two dayanim who were chosen, do they have a din of regular dayanim or not? Bala panam iras. Chelik beisim and kufnon tes harech levari. He goes on to a lengthy discussion to explain. Shekol ha'alachos ha'mugbalos. Sheyesh ala dayanim de'alma. The regular rules of dayanim that we generally know of. Yesh gam al dayanim zabla. Says the Panamiros that we have the regular rules of Dayanim apply equally to the Dayanim on a case of a Zabla. The Asur Lam Lishma Divrei HaBaal Din Zeshalobifneze. We have a halacha in the Gemara Ksubas tells us, there's a halacha of Shama Ben Achechem, which means I am not allowed to go ahead and listen to the claims of one side without the other party being present. Meaning, nowadays, I can't just respond to emails that are sent to me off the books. I can't respond to phone calls that are not in front of everybody there. Why? Because obviously my party is more inclined to lie if he doesn't have to face the other side as he says that story that he's saying. So we have a halacha of Shema ben Achechem. Says the Panamiros, even nowadays when we have the cases of Zabla, the rules of Shema ben Achechem also apply. He says, what do you mean nowadays everyone's sending emails, everyone's making phone calls, what are you talking about? No one's careful about Shema ben Achechem. Everyone always listens to their side before the case starts, while the case is going. No one's careful about this. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Habikilu kiblu aleim shnei atzadim. So with regard to that halacha, no one's careful. Says the Aruch HaShulchan. So the reason why we're not careful about it is because nobody cares. Because you know that I'm going to be sending emails, he knows that he's going to be sending emails, and we understand that that's the case, that's the reality, and that's okay. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Seems to be a machlokas, the Panim Iris and the Aruch HaShulchan, would we allow the violation of Shema ben Achechem by a Zabla? Very nogeh l'halacha b'zman hazeh. If I'm chosen to be a dayan on a Zabla case, can I go ahead and accept an email from one party without everybody being copied on it? Can I accept a phone call from one side of the case without having everybody on a conference? Is that permissible or not? It's a very important shaila.
Amnon. Have to listen to the case then. And as, if you don't know if you're going to accept it, you've got to know what the case is about. And you're always going to listen to the case, what this case is about, not everybody at the same time. Because if I went to the Bezdin says, okay, what's the case about?
Right.
They're going to be listening to me what the case is about.
Yeah, so you don't really say the details. You say a quick story there.
So I'm giving you my opinion.
Right.
I mean, it's always the case.
It seems to be that we're makel on this. So Rav Asher Weiss continues. He says,
you call
even though...
You call the Bezdin and make written Torah. You just think what the topic is. You don't have to give them the case.
When you pick your boyer, that's the problem.
That's why Tayanim are not permissible. Halacha. The whole institution is absolutely wrong. Shulchan Aruch says you have to have the Dayanim listening to the Baal Dover himself, unless he doesn't know how to present his case, which means he's a Yasum, for example, he's a young child, he doesn't know how to present his father's case. Or the person stutters and he won't be able to say his case clearly. Or he has some sort of anxiety that he can't speak up in front of a bezin. Or it's a woman and she's intimidated. But in a normal case where you have two Balidinim who are tough guys yelling at each other, you can't have Tayanim come to the case and say, oh, say this, don't say that, don't answer that question, only answer this. It's crazy to do such a thing. That's not a Din Torah, that's Sheker. That's the issue with Tayanim is Manazet. So basically, Rashi Weiss agrees that the Aruch HaShulchan says that we have room to be Mekel and violate the Halach of Shema ben Achechem. However, look in the next paragraph, Amnam Nira Baru Pashut, De Ein Ze Elalin in Shamal Divrei Zeh Shalob Efnei Zeh. This only applies to listening to one side over the other side. Aval, he qualifies the statement and he says, Shum minig sheba olam. Doesn't matter how much we've taken upon ourselves the minig, but shum haskama sheba olam. Eini yicholam lahatir l'kicha shochad. Even though we're going to bend the rules a little bit in his abla and say, well, nowadays everybody knows that we send emails back and forth and not everybody's copied on it. However, we cannot accept shochad. A dayan on a case is not allowed to accept shochad from one side. V'kasher dayan mekabel kesef mitzad echad bilvad hareza shochad gamur lehedim uvur b'ksubas ta'af lezakas es hazakai lechayiv es hachayiv havelei shochad gamur imlo natal mechavayu. Unless I accept money from both parties equally, schar batala, I am absolutely in violation of the iser shochad. U'mayahani askamas atzadim b'shochad sheyesh bo tarti lereisa. What type of right do you have to say, well, I'm machal on the shochad? Number one, it's a lab gamur de losika shochad. Number two, it's a backwards justice. This is not going to be a justice that's going to come out of this. It's going to be absolutely sheker. So that's what he argues. Look at the next paragraph. We can't agree to go and violate a din d'arayis in the Torah. Because that pashut kol kach, this is so simple and obvious to me, ad shetamani al mashamala alibo lahatir d'arvazeh. I cannot understand how you even think that this is permissible, how you even think that this is okay. Now, the next paragraph, whatever, you can read on your own. It's interesting. Next paragraph also. Now look at the last paragraph. Lugami mashamar harav nun. He's now addressing this person. I switched the names because no one has to know. Legami Masha Amar Rav Nun. Now, what you are arguing, that it's mutter to take shochad, Shekach Nagu, he says, what do you mean? Everybody takes shochad. It's mutter. The same way the Aruch HaShulchan says everyone takes emails without letting everybody else know, so everybody takes shochad. It's okay. So he says, Chalil Lomer Kein, She'eris Yisrael Lo Yasu Avlo. We're not allowed to judge in such a way. V'gamim na'agu, even if this is the minig in the world, that all the dayanim take shochad, which is terrible, minig tosu, the whole minig is mistaken, sheyesh levatlu la'akrav lo lekablu b'shivyon nefesh, Tosus writes in Baba Basar Daf Beis that even if we have minhagim in certain communities, sometimes there are minhagim that are absolutely wrong and we should not follow them. So he says this is obviously one of them. Even though dayanim all across the world have started accepting shochad and are crooked, that is not a reason why you should follow suit and also accept shochad and do the wrong things. Kalza nirla niyastaiti baru pasha. This is simple. V'yakar daraisa asher wise. So this is his tshuva in response, very strong tshuva in response to the person who thought that it was mutter to accept shochad on a zabla. What turns out is that there are basically two ways of understanding what a zabla is all about. Is a zabla like a regular bezin, follows the regular rules? That's what the Panama Iris writes. Or should we assume a zabla has room to cut off a little bit of the halachas of regular dayanim, but for the most part, we assume that you are not allowed to violate regular Yisurim Daraisa on a zabla either. That is the basic question that the Achronim are grappling with here. Now let's move this on to a little bit of a different discussion. Now that we said that there's such a case of where I pick a Rav who I think is honest, and you pick a Rav who you think is honest, what if I so choose to pick a woman? I think a woman is very honest, and I want a woman to be my dayan on a Zabla, or for that matter on a Bezdin. So can I choose a woman? What? Yeah.
That's not a din.
Oh, so it's an arbitration. So what if the same way as Zabla? So what's the story here? Let's see. So Tosfos writes, in fact, it's 2 days in Tosfos. Can you have a woman rabbi? Can you have a woman rabbi? It's 2 days in Tosfos on Gittin, Pei, Chasam, and Beis. So says Tosfos as follows. This is a number vav. Tosfos Gittin asks, I midvorog d'chsiba v'hi shofetas es Yisrael. As Tosfos, don't we know that Devora was a shofetes? Devora was a dayan, woman rabbi, rabba. So how was Ruth? What?
The shofetes has to be a rabbi.
Oh, so Tosfos answers like you're saying. So Tosfos says, "Ain't raya." You don't see from there that an isha is ksheru ladin. You don't see from there that a woman's able to be a dayan. Tosfos says two answers. Number one, Shem Elohaisa dana Elohaisa mila medes la madina. First of all, it could be all she did was paskinis of a heter. She happened to know Shulchan Aruch better than anyone else. So she just told you, the halach in such case is this, halach in that case is X, and this is Y. Okay, one teretz. Second teretz of Tosfos is, inami shemekiblu asaleya mishum shchina. Maybe, actually, Devorah had a real din of a dayan. Aye, what do you mean? How are we allowed to accept a woman as a dayan? Don't we know women can't be dayanim? Pasul of dayanim? Says Tosfos, no, because that was a special exception to the rule, because there was a presence of the shchina with Devorah Hanaviyah. Okay, so it's 2 days in Tosfos whether or not a woman is able to be a rabbi. So if you look in the Peshuva, in Chosha Mishpat, he brings a Birke Yosef who asks a stira in the words of the Chinuch. The Chinuch writes that when it comes to the din, that a dayan is not allowed to be shikr when he paskins a din, because otherwise he's not going to be with the presence of mind. Says the Chinuch, Isser zu noig bischarim uvenekebus. Says the Chinuch, this Isser of being a shikr when you paskin halacha applies to both men and women equally. What does that mean?
Which means
if I accept a woman as my dayan, she's not allowed to be a shikr. Yet, when it comes to the isser of taking shochad, or the isser of inoy hadin, which is another halacha in the chinuch, reish lamed gimel, when it comes to those two isurim, the chinuch writes, clearly, isser zu noig biz charim velo binakevas. So the Birke Yosef asks a stira here. What's going on? You mean to tell me the Minchas Chinuch there points out, in reish lamed gimel, and in siman ayin, and in mitzvah ayin dalet also the same, by shochad and by inei adin, he says, what do you mean? You mean to tell me, according to the chinuch, if I accept a woman on myself to be a dayan, for whatever reason, I think that she's very honest, I think I'm going to have a din Torah with her, so if I accept her, she's allowed to take shochad, and she's allowed to be ma'anas adin, she's allowed to do whatever she wants? What's... Inei adin means to make the person suffer more than he has to. Inei adin means you make the person wait longer than he has to get the psak. Whatever, it's a special halacha in Hilchos Dayan. So that's the Birke Yosef's stira within the Lashon HaChinuch. Should we assume that a woman could be a dayan or not? If she could be a dayan, then all the halachas should apply to her. If she can't be a dayan, then none of the halachas should apply to her. I don't understand what's going on here. That's the Minchas Chinuch's kasha, and that seems to be what the Pischei Tshuva is pointing out as well. But in Chosha Mishpa, we paskin clearly that a isha is psula ladun. So now let's look at the next shaila, which is in the Igros Moshe Yerodei Chelik Beis. What if We want to have a woman to be a mashgiach on a restaurant. Can I have a woman? We pask in Shulchan Aruch, a woman can't be a dayan. Fine, so a woman won't be a dayan. Can I have a woman be a mashgiach on a restaurant? What? Why not? Right? My kitchen. Eidech and Embi Surin. I trust my wife. Gittin Daf Beis Amin Aleph.
I think they're doing that now. Aren't they going to be...
They do it already? So this is Ramosha. So it was already a shtick in the times of Ramosha. So Ramosha already was talking about this from years ago. So Ramosha talks about it and he writes the following. Let's go through the tshuva. And then we'll see another tshuva in Ramosha where he references this tshuva as well. And in that tshuva, I think he's talking about a ger. But we'll see how that ties in. But Rashi's Devar of Don, Ramosha in the beginning talks about Legabi Namanas Isha Bi Yisurim. But Dabar Shein Abi Adar Rishusa. Fine. Once he gets that out of the way, you have this in Amr Zion. Number Zion, the second line. La'acharikain don legabi iser minuyim shel ha'isha. So I just paraphrase Ramosha here because it's a very lengthy tshuva, so I just made it shorter. Hevi divrei Rambam. So Ramosha quotes the Rambam in Perak Aleph Hilchas Malachim Halacha Hey, where the Rambam says, "Aser limnos isha lemelech." We are not allowed to appoint a woman to be a king. V'chein kol masima shebe Yisrael ein emanin ela ish. Says the Rambam, this is not a halacha that's specific to Hilchas Malachim. This is a halacha that applies to all types of authoritative positions. We are not allowed to give those positions to women. Lefizeh, it's not me saying it, it's the Rambam. Lefizeh, aser limnos isha lashgiach ala kashrus. According to this, I don't think that it's right to have a woman be in charge of kashrus. Why?
As a mashgiach.
As a mashgiach. K'di isa b'kidushin. She'eim eman in ger liyas b'muna al b'dikas amitos hamishkolos. They used to have a patrol, a policeman, going around and checking if all the weights in the stores were actually proper and honest. So you can't have a ger do that either. Why? Because it has to be mikarev achecha. That's what the Gemara says. It has to be a bona fide Yisrael, and a ger is not considered totally like the level of a regular person in Klal Yisrael. Vim kein, so says the Rambam, hu adin lahamid lahem mashkiach. I'm sorry, says Rav Moshe, we should not make them mashkichim in a restaurant. Hamachilim ein ma'amidim. Asvir le'laram misvar, dekmod le'gab mikarev achecha v'lo gerim. The same way we assume that one is not allowed to appoint a ger to an authoritative position, says the Rambam, who adin legabi ish velo isha, so too for a woman, we are not allowed to give her any authoritative position in our community.
Is he working for a mashgiach, an authoritative position?
So I would have said it's a degrading position. Who wants that? Who's interested in being a mashgiach, right? Not degrading, I'm just saying. If you think about the hierarchy of jobs I can have, I would say to be a partner in a law firm, that's, to be a mashgiach in a restaurant? I don't know. So here's Ramosha's argument. Look in the next paragraph. Amnam. Hevi midivya Tosis. So Ramosha then goes on to quote Tosis. Shekiblo samishim shchina. Now you see Tosis talks about Devorah. How are we allowed to use Devorah as a shofetes? So Tosis says that since she had shchina, so that was good enough. Elo da'adayin yesh lahakshus hapsula l'chal minoy. Tosis didn't answer the question. Fine, so she had shchina. But bottom line, you're not allowed to make a woman Svara. It's not allowed. Every time I accept a woman upon myself, it's because I accepted her. I want it. So what's the pshat in Tosis? Muchach mi Tosis says Rav Moshe, the chok and all the Rambam. You see that Tosis disagrees with the Rambam's premise. The Rambam assumes that a woman is not allowed to have any position of authority in the community. Tosis seemingly disagrees with the Rambam. Sviluru. Derak lemelech nismato shelo lahamidisha. It's a specific halacha when it comes to appointing a melech. You are not allowed to appoint a woman as a king. However, when it comes to other types of authoritative positions, a woman has every right to be in those positions just like a man does. This is Machlokes, Tosfos, and the Rambam. Umasik, Rav Moshe comes out, Rav Moshe's maskana is that we are allowed to have a woman be a mashkiach on a restaurant. Number one, he says many achronim disagree with the Rambam and say that this is a specific halacha in melech and it's not a halacha in all types of authoritative positions. This is the Rambam's own chiddush. So who said we have to follow the Rambam's chiddush? Val karchach after yesh lamed the Rambam gam minoy laashkacha lakashers nikra minoy mikamakum kim da achinuch tosis and sota Rashi and the Ran and Kiddushin all disagree with the Rambam. So Rav Moshe thinks we have a right to rely on all the other Rishonim and assume that a woman is allowed to be a Mashkiach on a Kashrus, even if you assume that being a Mashkiach is considered an authoritative position. Now, why would a Mashkiach be considered an authoritative position? You're saying it's
authoritative.
What?
A Zedus?
Not a Zedus.
She can take a whole meal and throw it away.
Right, she can. Yeah. So that's why it's considered authoritative. We'll see in the next Chuvah and Ramosha, it's considered an authority because she has the ability to actually trafe up a whole restaurant. She has the ability to say that everything that's going on in this restaurant. What? She can close it down. Right, so let's see the next Chuvah and Ramosha, which is in Chelek Dalet. The first one was in Chelek Beis. So if you look in Yerodeah Chelek Dalet, Ramosha says the following. V'anidam shekeser rosh hashal alav haya bekesher leminoi ger lemelamido magad shira mashkiach or afila rosh hashiva. Someone said to Ramosha Hashayla, am I allowed to appoint a ger as a rosh hashiva or as a mashkiach in the yeshiva or as a magad shir? Stam, I want to hire a ger as a magad shir. That's an authoritative position. Am I allowed to do that? Says Ramosha as follows. Rotza keser rosh lochiach mishmaya v'abtalyum. So you, the person who was asking me the Shaila, you wanted to bring a Raya from Shmai Baptalion or Geirim, come from Geirim, and Shmai Baptalion were pretty prominent figures in the community, so maybe we're also allowed to be Memana Rosh Hashiva Bizmanazeh, who is a Ger. Says Ramosha, V'hinei chutz mimashalo baralana b'diyuk, yichusam shagdolam elu. We're not quite clear what the story with Shmai Baptalion was. So he says you can't really bring a Raya from them. Fine, okay, look at the next paragraph. Avalamaisa. So Ramosha's maskana is, I just paraphrased the long, long chuvan of Ramosha. Avalamaisa yesh leida. Everybody should know the following. Sha mitzvah shel v'ahavtem es hager. This is why you need Gedol Yisrael, to make a psak like this. Sha mitzvah shel v'ahavtem es hager. Ramosha needs to weigh out the options of how to pass in the shayla. On the one hand, I'm not allowed to have a ger be in an authoritative position. On the other hand, I have the isra of v'ahavtem es hager. A mitzvah, I'm not allowed to make the ger suffer. Says Ramosha, the mitzvah of v'ahavtem es hager is so overwhelmingly powerful that we have to try as much as we can to be makel with shailas when it comes to gerim. That's the koyach of Ramosha. Lefikach achar yishuv gadol nira. Ramosha says, I spent a lot of time thinking about this. I was very concerned, and I think she'ein lahachshav misharos eile b'tikufaseinu ke'ein shalmaisa sirara. I think we have a right to assume that these types of authoritative positions that we consider an authority are not really authoritative, and a ger would be allowed to have a job as a rebbe in a yeshiva, as a mashgiach in a yeshiva, that's fine. The ikar tafkid shel yeshiva hu lilma the talmidim kishehem rotzim. The main point of a yeshiva is to teach the talmidim. Umashi yesh kochel menalim v'arashi yeshiva al talmidim asalkam. I can suspend the kid. I can throw the kid out of school. So I do have some sort of authority. Says Ramosha, Oshalol Kabbalah Sam Lechatchila Chadoma, Ain Ze Ela Kamos Sroa Shabala Bayis Al Polav, Shein Ze Main Minu the Sroa Klal. What do you mean? The same way a person who is employing many different employees, that's not called Sroa. I created a business. I want to fire someone, so I fire him. What are you going to say? A ger is not allowed to run a business? Of course he's allowed to. So Ramosha says, even though a principal of a school has a right to throw out a kid or not to accept him into the school in the first place, that's not called a Sroa. The school opened up a business. You don't like the rules of my business? Get out of the business. Who asked you to be here? So Ramosha says we have a right to be makel in such a case. Look at the last paragraph. Don't say that this is similar to my other tshuva that we just read. I over there, I assume that a woman is not allowed to be a mashgiach in a restaurant because that is considered an authoritative position. Says Ramosha, why did I say that? Because over there, the balabas, the owner of the restaurant, wants that his restaurant should stay open and that everything should be considered kosher. By hiring you as the mashgiach, you are hired to go against me. You're hired to prove me wrong. So Ramosha says, I actually have an authority in such a case, laman ala mishma, because I'm supposed to be watching over you and making sure you're following all the rules strictly. So Ramosha argues that maybe when it comes to being a rebbe in a yeshiva, or even to being a principal or a rosh yeshiva, even though I could throw a child out of school, even though I have the right not to accept him in the first place, says Ramosha, it's a very strong argument, I have a reason to assume that that's not really called an authoritative position. That's different. The reason why that's mutter is because that's not really an authority. That's, I'm running a self-employed business. You don't like it, don't come be a part of my business. Go somewhere else. However, Ramosha argues when it comes to being mashgiach on a restaurant, that is an authority. Why? Because I have every right to close down the restaurant. I'm going against what the balabas wants. I'm showing him that I'm better than him. I'm showing him I have the ability to close him down. So in such a case, Ramosha assumes that a woman would not be okay for such a position. So just to summarize over here quickly. We went through the halachas from the Gemara in Gittin on Pei Ches and Beis. One halacha was lifnei and velo lifnei of the kochavim. That's what we discussed on Shabbos. One does not have a right to go to Arkal Shel Goyim. Just good to know that the Rashi Tevas that we use in many of the poskim and many of the Chuvah Svarim is Ayin Shin Gimel. When we're talking about a secular court, we use the Rashi Tevas Ayin Shin Gimel, which stands for Arkal Shel Goyim. So that's an important thing to know about, that when you see that, that's what it means. Ayin Shin Gimel means Arkal Shel Goyim. So number one, the Gemara tells us in Gittin Peches that we have no right to go to a secular court. We spoke about the times when one does have a right to violate that rule and go to a secular court instead of going to a bezin. Now we have a second halacha in that Gemara in Gittin, which tells us, lifnei and velo lifnei hediotos. One is not allowed to go to someone who does not have smicha. Well, that being the case, we spoke that nowadays we don't have smicha. We spoke about the Rambam, who has this chiddush that maybe we would be able to have smicha b'zman hazeh, by getting all the Rabbanim together in Eretz Yisrael and deciding that we should confer smicha upon this individual. We spoke about the story that the Ma'ari ben Lev tried to reinstitute the smicha in order to give malchus to the Muranos. Reb Chaim had a kash on that, aside from the problem that he didn't invite the Rabbanim from Yerushalayim, and it turned into a whole politics, and he was wrong for that. But at the same time, Reb Chaim had a taina that one would not be able to reinstitute the smicha to give onesh haguf. One would only be allowed to reinstitute the smicha to be mechayiv money. Then we spoke about the din of shlichusayu, the Chassam Sofer's kasha. How are we allowed to say that we have shlichusayu? How are we considered shluchim if the mishaleach died a very long time ago? So we answered that the Ran explains that shlichusayu only means that we have permission from the bezdin because it is no longer considered a slap in the face for us to go ahead and dan dini Torah. And then the last component that we discussed is about women and gerim being dayanim, and we saw the two tshuvas from Rav Moshe respectively, as well as the tshuva from Rav Asher Weiss about a zabla and what the parameters of a zabla are. Wish everyone a wonderful evening.